The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, reporting from Tulsa, Oklahoma, the location of Pastor Jackson Lahmeyer's Sheridan Church. Pastor Lahmeyer nearly did not make our rendezvous as there was an attempt on his life over the weekend. He was swatted. I actually had to inform him and his security chief that this was an attempt on his life that has happened to many conservative activists. Lahmeyer is the founder of Pastors for Trump, and he is the head of an incredibly important work and historic work in the history of the Spirit-filled church. I will tell you all about it tonight. We'll have a tribute to Jeremiah Gaver of Matthew 24 Now, the street preacher who was shot dead by police in Boise, Idaho. We'll see how far we get to the news. I'd like to cover Trump's way in on the Jair Bolsonaro trial in Brazil, the she-male activists attacking ICE in Texas, a lethal ambush involving gunfire and explosives. I withdrew my complaint against my Scott County, Iowa sheriff, who has assured me that my permit is being issued. I hope to cover the indictment against former communist president of Argentina, Alberto Fernandez. Music tonight from various artists, beginning with Digital Underground. Hey, America, it's not too late to bridge the gap. Let's take it back, just like Brother Lahmeyer conquered the honky-tonk.
Drop the beat, Jay.
Been all around the world.
Came for the party to get naughty, get my rocks on, eat popcorn, watch you move your body to the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing, everybody swinging in the place as I kick the J's, easy watch style, R&B mixing it with the hip-hop swing beat, champagne in my hand, it won't be long till I'm gone. It's just the same old song.
It's just a freestyle. Meanwhile, we keep the beat kicking. Sweat dripping. Girlies in the limo, we in checking. Who's gonna get the grease on your panty, ho? I love you, Rover. Move over. I gotta blow my nose. Sneezing. But someone please, and all of Slimmy. Pull out my Jimmy. Time to get busy with a jetty. If it's getting plenty, don't you know? There I go. But I don't go nowhere without my gym hat. What I'm rapping is if she's clapping, then I'm strapping, cause I'm smarter than that. And then, girlie, maybe we can get along. Cutie after cutie, it's just the same old song.
Same song.
Position of your case. Gather in a little closer there. That's right, right there, yeah. In light of your contribution to the common good, I hereby waive all fines, suspend all sentences, you're free to go.
Yeah.
Hold the harvest.
There is another matter before the Shire Court this evening, and, well, yous all might be able to help.
Old Humpty Hump and his band found favor before the hanging judge. much like I did before the Honorable Thomas J. Augustine this week. Mine was only the sixth weapons permit appeal in the entire 99 counties of the state of Iowa in as many months of 2025. Regular listeners to this show know that I had to compel my sheriff to come to the negotiating table and to do his duty, his shall-issue duty in our shall-issue state, and to issue my permit or to provide some very sound reasons why he would not. 20-odd years ago, Bill Cooper, radio broadcaster and a conservative leader, a pioneer in the conservative movement, was shot dead by the sheriff's department in his Arizona county, much like preacher Jeremiah Gaver, whose brother was shot dead 10 years ago in Deadwood, Arizona. Cottonwood, Arizona, maybe. Their crime was ruffling the feathers of the establishment, preaching the true gospel, and exposing government corruption. There are uncanny parallels between my life and that of Bill Cooper, who broadcast on the short waves on some of the same transmitters and frequencies that you're hearing right now. We've got a Nothing But Trouble theme tonight, the movie with Chevy Chase, Demi Moore, and Dan Aykroyd and John Candy. The 1991 film is about stockbrokers who took a wrong turn, winding up in a strange and serendipitous place called Vulcanvania, a place where the judicial and governmental tyranny is complete. This film is a dystopian epic, but in many respects it's also a comedy, and I'm going to use that levity tonight because we have some very serious themes to cover about those of whom the world was not worthy, of those who, like Jeremiah Gaver, were faithful unto death. Jackson Lahmeyer, who was just a twitch away from also being executed in a hail of gunfire. Sometimes I have to physically meet people and look them in their eyes before I make the determination whether they're for real or not. Brother Lahmeyer is for real, and he is such a key person in the Reformation of America, I just cannot even describe it. I'll take some time a little later to break down those details. In Nothing But Trouble, Humpty Hump, the famed rapper with the Groucho glasses, bushy eyebrows, and rubber nose, is busted and brought before the judge, the ancient judge, the Reeve. Humpty's hearse has been completely disassembled and thoroughly searched by the policewoman, who I gotta say bears a striking resemblance to Officer Mathis of the Spyro PD. Here she describes the results of the search.
You know what to do with them.
What the hell is that?
Okay, what's going on, boy?
Oh, 12:30, isn't it? It's kind of late.
I was dreaming there. I was back in France on furlough.
Step forward, Constable. What are the charges?
Speeding. 75 and a 50. In a hearse.
It was an ambulance. You got a chance. But then a hearse got to be worse.
Okay. Oh, this is a union car, no? Where are you, mine workers?
Oh, well, man, we're musicians. We're a hip-hop band.
That's what I'm saying.
Hip-hop? Musicians? You're all musicians, huh?
Yeah, DJs.
Constable, you searched the vehicle?
Oh, yes, sir, I did. It contains musical items.
Well, I'd better see them. Bring them all in, set them up, let me see them.
All right, let's go.
Man, would you look at this place? It's like extremely Dracula.
White man's heaven.
One at a time. Here we are. We're home. Let's go. One, two, three.
She is one ugly, cross-burning, redneck, peckler police bitch, man.
All right. Move.
We have got to get away from this Vulcanvania-style policing. In Nothing But Trouble, the Reeve summarily puts people to death. Arguably, they deserve it. But what if someone like Paul invokes his Roman citizenship? That's what Jeremiah Gaver did, and he still wound up dead. I'm going to go on with the good news for tonight, that Brother Jackson Lahmeyer lived, that he lived to tell the tale. But it was I who had to inform him, hey, you have been swatted. This is an attempt on your life. This has happened to many conservative activists. activists, many journalists. Today you join an elite company whose assassination has been attempted, a company that includes our president, Donald John Trump. Knowing that Brother Lahmeyer is a prominent person, the Oklatucky County Sheriff actually called him and apologized and said, oh, this was a mistake. We got a call, and to quote Brother Lahmeyer, he said, and your address was the one that pinged. Well, now I demand that the sheriff do his job like I demanded of my county sheriff in Scott County, Iowa, and find out who was behind this false accusation that there was an active shooter inside Brother Lahmeyer's house. The textbook play for these Antifa activists is that they spoof their caller ID, for starters. That's why Brother Lahmeyer's number came up. It's a very serious crime to make a fake report to the police. So the caller, to protect his own identity and frame the conservative activist that is the target of the swatting, uses an electric caller ID spoofer. The next thing that they generally do is disguise their voice with a digital voice changer. Every human's voice print is as unique as a fingerprint. Again, this has happened to numerous InfoWars reporters and conservative activists, Trump supporters, and commentators all over the nation. And it continues to happen. So now, Brother Lahmeyer, I really wish you would take to President Trump this issue of swatting and tell him that this is very serious and it needs to stop. And the whole idea of these SWAT raids, these so-called active shooter responses, they exist in a legal gray area. I want to tell you a little story about an actual arrest and a very positive police encounter. I was informed that a wanted fugitive was in one of the rental units on my family property in Davenport, Iowa. I called the Davenport police. I said, hey, you gonna come pick this guy up? He's here right now. They said they would, but then 2 or 3 hours passed with no motion and no calls. I rang the non-emergency number again and said, hey, if this guy wakes up right now, it's easy for you to come pick him up. Later on, maybe it won't be. I need you to send an officer here. After that, it was only 20 or 30 minutes before I got a call on my cell phone, and it was the lady officer responding. I said, I'll meet you down on 32nd Street. I approached the lady officer, who was very professional. I said, you can park your cruiser right here. And I do have a concealed firearm. You never know how that's going to go in a police interaction, but fortunately she was not at all threatened. I informed her Jefferson Court is not a public street. It is all private property, whether it's gated or not. I will walk you directly to the unit. You see, she needed me to walk her to the unit because it's private property. I walked her up the hill and in and around to the very door where the fugitive was. I had the keys to that door. And the lady officer looked down at the doorknob and looked up at me. She knew, don't you see, that even though they had received a report that there was a fugitive and he was in that unit, that she, without a written warrant, could not turn the doorknob. Forget about coming out with a shield and guns and assault rifles and pointing them at people and barking orders. We're not talking about the armored vehicles they send to get Roger Stone and Jackson Lahmeyer. Just to turn the doorknob, she knew was beyond her authority. That is something that I had to do as the person in charge of our family property. It's something I had to do in the position of the landlord. So I did. I turned the doorknob and opened the door. Well, then the officer can obviously walk through an open door. I pointed to the young fella asleep on the couch, and the lady officer went over and gave him a shake. Then she called him by name and said, wake up, you gotta come downtown. Oh man. Well, he was tired anyway. He was tired of running. Now, every one of you tactical jackboots out there listening knows that this is the law. This is the way you function with the citizenry. But then you get swept into this other culture, this cop culture of policing. And this is where the devil's very strong. Not in the legalities of the law, but in what is allowed and what someone can get away with. In the crescendo of incremental departure from what the law actually clearly states. The Fourth Amendment's clear. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, houses, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be infringed, and no warrant shall issue except upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Davenport PD could have got a hold of the judge, rang him up on the phone, and got a warrant. They could have, while I was on the phone, said, identify yourself. please tell your name, and do you solemnly swear? I would have said, I affirm that, to the best of my knowledge, this person is in this property. Well, then the judge will sign the warrant based on the affirmation of a properly identified complainant, an observer, a witness, a testator. And with that warrant, they can go bust in the door. It's 100 times better, though, for them to have the community behind them and the landlord standing right there with his gun and the keys. That's what we need to get back to. And it's true, Jackson Lahmeyer did conquer the honky-tonk. He took over the old Caravan Cattle Company, which is one of the famous nightclubs. It was the country nightclub in town. I was telling him that when I was at ORU, which was maybe his 20 years before him, Oral was still president, that some of the misbehaving youngsters at the school would go out to the nightclubs. And the Novo City kids used to go down to the Ocean Club at 91st and Memorial, but the country kids used to go to the Caravan Cattle Company at 41st east of Sheridan. But after decades as a honky-tonk, Jackson's congregation had outgrown the little building where they were, and he bought the Caravan Cattle Company and made a lovely little church out of it. Not that this came up overnight, and I'll address this later. Sheridan Church, Sheridan Christian Fellowship, was one of the two original Holy Ghost works, the original charismatic works in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and out of that sprouted many, many things, and Brother Lahmeyer is the fourth pastor of that work. It's partly because of those very, very deep roots that he is being attacked. Okay, so I think that Brother Lahmeyer really needs to take this to the Trump White House, that, hey, these swatting events operate in a gray area legally. They're really violations of the Fourth Amendment, and we need to put a stop to it. There need to be warrants issued. In 2025, we can issue warrants very quickly if there is an identified person who will make a statement of oath or affirmation, who will make an official statement under penalty of perjury that a certain crime is in progress, or a ne'er-do-good, a wanted criminal, is present in a certain location. The Supreme Court has hashed through the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, and there's been a number of landmark cases that police study, or at least they're supposed to. As I stood in handcuffs, I informed the much calmer officer assigned to babysit me that the officer doing the search had evidently not recently studied his Graham versus Connor, that moral of which is de-escalation. A little de-escalation would have saved the life of Jeremiah Gaver. Okay, so here are the exceptions to the base Fourth Amendment. One is plain sight. If an officer walks by your car, pulls up against you in traffic, and sees contraband right there in your vehicle, it's in plain sight. If he smells the Mary Jane, which now is legal by state law in many places, same thing. That's his probable cause for the search. So pertaining to this fugitive in our rental unit, if from the street, which you can't see it from the street, but if from the street the officer could look in the window and see the fugitive, all of a sudden they can go break in that door. There's also something called exigent circumstances, which the Supreme Court has ruled on numerous times. Hot pursuit is, of course, an exigent circumstance. If somebody robbed the Clark station and was seen running out of the building with a gun in a bag, that would justify an officer crossing onto the private property and even breaking the door of a rental unit. But these kind of SWAT raids dance around those issues. It's very quick and easy to get a warrant today. They just have to have an oath or affirmation on an identified witness. And I would like Pastor Jackson Lahmeyer to take that to President Donald Trump. We want no more SWAT raids that are not based on oath or affirmation and a warrant being issued. No more. Not unless the officer actually hears the shots and or sees the gunman. These spoofed 911 calls have gone way, way too far. It's just like Vulcanvania.
I have to plead the Fifth Dimension.
Okay. Well, let's see here what we got. We got your crack and ice cocaine here. We got your pills and your vials of coke and your snorters and pipes and grinders. Get your gun here. We got your switchblade knives.
Well, since you're all having a whirl of a time or some kind of a hopped up date, I believe that we can get this all over relatively simply and have you people on your way. So step forward to the bench, please.
Hey, see that? Nice one to stand in.
You take care of this. I'm going to go out for a smoke.
Go for a smoke? Dennis, they got guns. Frogs. One of them trying to kill you. I'll show you to watch.
Okay, well, I hereby find all parties culpable in these matters as charged, and so choose to invade the maximum levy for these violations, and do therefore deem that you be conveyed to a holy, oh, awful place of execution, wherein you shall be put to death.
In this fictional account, John Candy plays the good cop, the cop who's tired of seeing brutal and excessive murders in the name of justice. Spoiler alert, it's him who allows Chevy Chase and Demi Moore, along with their friends, the Brazilianaires, to escape, and in the end, he's their head of security at their compound at their mansion in Brazil. On Sunday in the pulpit, Pastor Lammeyer prophesied prolifically about what he must do, about the arrest of the Apostle Paul, about being an alpha male, being a macho man, and not being beta. He had chosen the title, Don't Be Beta, and chosen the scriptural study in the latter half of Acts 21 before his swatting even occurred. Last week he read about a certain prophet named Agabus in verse 11, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. All who were present said, No, no, don't go, don't go. Let's read. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What meaneth ye to weep and break mine heart? Even knowing there's an APB, an all points bulletin out for him, he mounts up in the bluesmobile. It's right here in verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. Verse 16 is interesting because it's something that I observed in Brother Lammeyer's church. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. I immediately noticed upon entering Sheridan Church that there were a lot of older people in there. 50s, 60s, 70s, some of them 90s, maybe a centenarian in the crew. The church has been in existence for 74 years. I better give you a little bit of the background before we go into the break. This history comes to me from many sources, but much of it was narrated by two people. Doyle Tucker, the son of Mother Tucker, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and Marshall Horn, one of two people that I've been very close to that actually knew Prophet William Branham personally and preached in his services. Brother Horn told me that many, many years ago, there were only two charismatic churches in town when the movement was extremely young. Those two were FCF, Faith Christian Fellowship, either on 11th or 15th Street. They had a landmark property there up until just within the last decade, and Sheridan Church, which was at 2nd and Sheridan. I'm not sure about FCF. Again, a decade ago, it was there, but it had kind of gone into hibernation. It was a very, very old movement, and there's a temptation to always become a mausoleum. But Sheridan Church reinvented itself. The second pastor of Sheridan Church was Billy Joe Doherty. Billy Joe and Sharon Doherty pastored Sheridan Church for years before opening Victory Christian Center, which then led to Victory Bible Institute, Victory Bible College, Victory Christian School, and many other spinoffs. After Billy Joe, the third pastor pastored for 34 years before handing the reins in 2017 to young Jackson Lammeyer. The work was withering, but he strengthened that which remained. Round about that time, they sold their landmark building at 2nd and Sheridan and downsized on further south. Now, I have to address the homoeroticism, because in the 1970s, Doyle Tucker said that he was one of about 40 prominent worship leaders in town, and out of the 40, there was one other worship leader besides himself that he believed maybe was not actively engaged in a homosexual lifestyle. Until, he said to me, personally, face to face, mouth to mouth, he said, until that person propositioned me. Yes, Doyle Tucker was the only one out of 40 prominent worship leaders in the city of Tulsa who refused to go the way of Michael Tate and give in to the desire for strange flesh. Now, that doesn't come from us. That comes from across the street. It comes from our ancient enemy, from the vine of Sodom, from the Church of Rome. But the venom of those asps had infected us. When the landmark Sheridan Church building at 2nd and Sheridan was sold, a new church opened up shop in there, going hard for Christ, their symbol, the lion. A noble beast, no doubt, but also a symbol of the homosexual lifestyle. Always on the prowl, and they literally named it Going Hard for Christ. Can you believe it? While they went about their business of defiling that sanctuary, Jackson, Pastor Jackson, was down the road with his small congregation, many of them advanced in age. But he stirred up. He fanned into flame the gift of God that was given to him as Paul spoke to young Timothy. He tells of Timothy's heritage, which in that case went back 3 generations. It dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And then the apostle says, and I also laid hands on you and made an impartation, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So the apostle says, the gift is in you, now fan it into flame. You blow on that coal. You work it until it ignites. And in the case of Brother Jackson Lamire, his generational heritage is 4 generations. 4 long generations. Well, he has fanned it into flame, gone all the way to the White House, and hijacked the honky-tonk. Much more when we come back. I'm going to play Aaron Lewis. This is Country Boy. There's a reference to weed in here that you know that I do not support or condone, but his references to the Patriots and his defiance of modern government overreach, of a government that has, in some respects, by some indications, exceeded the consent of the governed.
Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. Pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. My grandfather was a drinker back in the day, he put him down. But a war is known to change a man, and the whiskey's known to change a man. That's not me. I rarely drink from the bottle, but I'll smoke a little weed. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go, in a town of 1,200 off an old dirt road, and a country boy is all I'll ever be. Now it's been 12 years since I sold my soul to the devil in L.A. He said, sign your name here on the dotted line, and your songs they all will play. He set up shop on Sunset, he put me up at the Marquee. He said, you wanna sell 1,000,000 records, boy, you better listen to me. He said, change your style, whiten your smile, you could lose a couple of pounds. If you wanna live this life, you better lose that wife. Do you need your friend around? I said, no, that's not me. Cause the biggest things in life are your friends and family. And I like my jeans and my old t-shirts, and a couple extra pounds never really hurt. Cause a country boy is all I'll ever be. Cause Hank taught me just how to stay alive. You never catch me out the house without my 9 or 45. Sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one man's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. Be careful. This is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my belief. Say it again, 'cause I've never needed government to hold my hand. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause my family's always fought and died to save this land. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
Welcome back to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting on WBCQ 7.490 MHz, and to Latin America and the Caribbean on WRMI 9.955 MHz. Something else I wanted to share with you out of 2 Timothy. This parallels Pastor Lahmeyer's very prophetic message this morning, except he didn't go to this particular verse. "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Are you interested in that, young disciple? Are you interested in signing up to mix it up? Or do you want to be in the rear with the gear? Because let me tell you, there's a well-stocked homoerotic quasi-church. There's whole houses out there full of betas and cucks. You can join right up with them. So I wanted to point out, this is 2 Timothy 1:8, that's the last half of the verse, but the first half is this: be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Okay, so don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. If the past and typical human behavior is any indicator, a lot of people will depart from Brother Lawmeyer now that he has had this trial of mockings and scourgings. You know, the same thing comes up later in the chapter. The Lord talks about somebody who's stuck, or the apostle talks about somebody who's stuck with him when the going got tough. Let's read 1:16 of 2 Timothy. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Not only that, he had to come find the apostle. Look, 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found him. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Many people treacherously departed from the apostle. In this letter, he names them by name. Worst of all is Alexander the coppersmith. And the apostle says he did us much hurt. One question I got for Sheridan Church, now that I brought forth so many accolades, I just got to mention it. Brother Lawmeyer, if you're going to preach a big sermon on Don't Be Beta, why is your worship leader so freaking beta? You know, I really liked it when your worship team came out because they're such regular people, all ages, all colors, not superstars, no Hannah Montana vibe. Some of them were a little nervous to be standing in front of everybody standing under the lights. They did a fantastic job, so authentic, for an opening praise medley. And then a deep worship medley. All that was cursorily compacted, of course, because this guy was going to be let off the chain, and that was put on the docket, was put on the schedule that time was his. And when that weenie took point, it killed the anointing. Pastor Jackson, your people tried to follow him. They tried to go with him. They were a little frustrated that they couldn't quite go with him. Am I really the only person to say, to see, to discern, as you said we should, that was not the Spirit of God, the power of God, the direction of God? It was the vine of Sodom. It was so homoerotic. It could not have been more homoerotic had he grabbed his crotch, said woo-hoo, and moonwalk like Michael Jackson. You need to cut some bait, Pastor Jackson. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then the apostle makes it clear that there's people we have to get away with. 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. 3 and 5 tells us what to do with the fakers who have a form of godliness. Oh, they got the church dance, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. From such turn away. See, you got to kick them to the curb. You got to get away from them. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, verse 9. But Jackson, you're not the only one that has to cut some bait. There is serious talk about cutting bait with Pam Bondi at the Department of Justice. News came out, and right from the mouth of the boss himself, that he doesn't want to talk about the Epstein list. Maybe a power play on his part, a bluff, or some 5D chess, or something like that, but I wasn't happy to hear him say that. Perhaps the FBI and the DOJ are endemically, hopelessly corrupt. Perhaps they need to be dismantled just like the VOA, just cut to pieces and scattered to the winds. Perhaps we can hope that the deconstruction of the Voice of America is the ectype for the deconstruction of other larger and more powerful government bureaus. We can hope for that. But Laura Loomer just called out Pam Bondi. She calls her Blondie, and she said, please resign. MAGA America knows that the child sexual abuse, and specifically the Epstein case, is the tip of the iceberg. It is the point of the obelisk of the deep state and of the swamp. It is the Achilles heel of them, where if we strike them hard and fast now, early on in the Trump presidency, we can totally roll up the deep state and prevent them from ever taking power again. Here's a classic from way back and one of my favorites. We'll be right back. So I got a call from El Salvador from one of my apprentices, from a novice canine handler who's learning to use Logan. The original question didn't really open the matter. I had to pry a little. The original question was, hey, can Logan detect drugs or something in a person's luggage? I responded, yes, he's capable of that, but that's not the area of his expertise, and really, his training is far more complicated and time-consuming and much more involved and on a much higher level than un perro detector, than a detection dog. Because in the airport, okay, so now here is coming the real heart of the matter, because in the airport, the dog alerted on my luggage, and there was no contraband in my luggage, but there was some food. We used to call that a ground score at the Rainbow Gathering. The hippie kids and the dumpster divers, anything they find is fair game for them. And the same with their dogs. So when they find something on the ground, man, that's a morsel. They gotta grab it. Pero la unidad canina. But the canine unit is supposed to never do that. But this is the pathetic state of canines and canine handlers in both of our nations. Their canines are all taking ground scores. They will not even drop it on command. And when they supposedly alert, the only thing that they can seem to find is somebody's lunch. It's just another form of swatting, really. And the apprehension dogs are no better. Jeremiah Gaver fought with two different dogs that were sent after him on the attack command. The officer lamented that he knew he could not shoot him for fighting with the dog, even deploying an edged weapon against it, which he did. I'm getting ahead of myself. His execution did not begin with the dogs. Before that were the tasers. Before that were the beanbag shotgun shells that they shot him with twice, unprovoked. The situation really began 10 years ago in 2015. So here I'll read from the 2024 article about Jeremiah's death. Boise, Idaho, CBS 2. Jeremiah Gaver, the man who was shot and killed by police in the early morning hours on Wednesday after he stabbed two police canines, may have been involved in a police shooting in Arizona years ago. A spokesman for the Ada County Sheriff's Office tells CBS 2 that Jeremiah Gaver appears to be the same person who was involved in a shootout. Get that? A shootout. It wasn't a shootout, because a shootout, well, the word implies that one guy was shooting at another guy who was also shooting, and that's not the way that this happened at all. The police just jumped on him, and one of them lost his service weapon in the scuffle. Alright, here we go. Involved in a shootout with his family and the police in Arizona in 2015, the spokesman confirms that Gaver has the same birthday as the man arrested in Arizona. AZ Central reports in 2015 that the Gaver family was involved in an incident at Walmart in Cottonwood, Arizona. The incident escalated into a brawl between seven Gaver family members and police. A police officer was disarmed, and one of the brothers, a man named Enoch Gaver, was shot and killed. A police officer was also wounded in the shootout. Now this from ChristianPost.com. Again, this is 10 years old. One of the suspects, identified as 21-year-old Enoch Gaver, was killed after allegedly shooting at police. Now look how they spin it. The police came to kill him, and he wrestled the gun away and shot one of them in the leg. But no news outlet will tell you that. In fact, we were playing a little Digital Underground, and you know who used to sing with them? Young Tupac Shakur. I'm not a big Tupac fan. He was connected with the terrorist organization, the Black Panthers. There's a lot I don't like about his gangsterism and thugism, but he is, and I gotta give him props for this. He's the one guy who got in a gunfight with off-duty police officers and lived to tell the tale as a free American. Not so for Enoch Gaver. He was shot down in a blaze of glory. Here's another line of shameless spin, really a reversion of the facts. Authorities were called to Walmart on Saturday after a female employee was allegedly assaulted during an encounter with the family. It came out later that this was a hostile female Walmart employee who followed the young men into the men's restroom. One or more of those young men then pushed her out of the men's room. So that is the so-called assault. That's the linchpin that began all these needless escalations. but I want you to know what happened to the third brother, if we can even find out. One more totally spun line from the Christian Post. Upon arrival, police were, quote, immediately attacked, unquote, by the group which prompted the brawl. Now, the body cam footage finally came out, and what happened is the police rolled up and said, we're going to separate you. They began to insert themselves between the brothers and attempt to do exactly that, which led to pushing and shoving and some fisticuffs by the Gavers that the police could not match. The Idaho Statesman has a slightly different version, saying Nathan Gaver told police that the restroom dispute involved a man attempting to enter the restroom while their mother was inside it. Don't stand up for your mother. The police will beat your ass for that. And if they can't get the job done, they'll just kill you. Okay, this is what I wanted to show you also from the Idaho Statesman. David Gaver, 18, was charged with 16 counts of aggravated assault, 2 counts of resisting arrest, 2 counts of hindering prosecution, 1 count of riot, and 4 counts of disorderly conduct. Can you believe that? For one fist fight? And he was shot in the stomach. I mean, isn't getting shot penalty enough? Now, because of all these charges, David Gaver was sent basically to the loony bin. He was forcibly drugged. I've researched this intensively, and it seems to me that he is under the such treatment even today. I have not heard any different. It's been 10 years. Peter Gaver, the patriarch, was sentenced to 365 days in prison. He was ordered to have no contact with the rest of his family. Now, there were 2 juvenile members of the family who were arrested at the same time, have also both been charged in connection with the fight. They also were taken by Child Services. We'll sum it all up after one more rock classic.
Back my bullets.
There may yet be justice in the matter of the killing of Jeremiah Gaver. His father, Peter Gaver, is suing the city, both the Boise Police Department and the Ada County Sheriff's Office. He said the news releases have been a very one-sided story. I'd like to read some verses as a tribute to Jeremiah Gaver, beginning with Hebrews 10:34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. Here again, for the third time, the apostle is stating that there were people that stood with him when he was apparently on the wrong side of the law, when he was a prisoner, when he was a fugitive, when he was the victim of a swatting, falsely reported incident that the militarized police were all too willing to respond to. Pastor Jackson, not knowing any of this, read this verse from Revelation 2 in service today. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. When we read of the trials of the saints in Hebrews 11, it sounds a lot like what happened to Matthew 24 now. Verse 36, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. I want you to catch this, verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That, my friends, is Jeremiah Gaver. As near as I can tell, and no one has been able to prove me different, even though I read much of the 260-page PDF report of the police action. All you LEOs out there, I'm reaching out to you. I'm trying to bridge the gap between all of you and the society that you're supposedly sworn to serve and protect. I fear that the Iranians and the rest of America's enemies are going to stir up trouble very quickly. I hope that before that gets serious, the police and the American people line up together to resist it. At present, there are a lot of things out of order, including the attitude of the Peli Roja. She's out doing what she wants. Let's play one more Digital Underground in her honor.
It spins around. You recognize this sound? Well, it's the underground. You know that we're down with what you like. Yeah. With what you like.
And though we're usually on a serious tip, check it out. Tonight we're gonna flip and trip and let it all hang out tonight. We're gonna say what we like.
Cause yo yo, we wanna know how many people in the flow. We like to just let yourselves go and do what you like. Yeah. What's tonight's your night? Just eat food, try not to be crude or rude. Kill the attitude, chill the serious mood. And do what you like. And do what you like. Everybody do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yeah, do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Just do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, go where you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
I mean rich, poor, high, lower, upper, middle. Let's all get together and have a few laughs and do what we like. And do what we like. And since you came here, you gotta show and prove. And do that dance until it don't move. Do what you like. Sometimes I bite.
Now if you're hungry, get yourself something to eat. And if you're dirty, then go take a bath. Messed up the line? Nope, sometimes I don't ride. Help yourself to a cracker with a spread of cheddar cheese. Have a neck bone. You don't have to say please. Eat what you like. Yo, smell how you like.
Everybody do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, do what you like. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you like to do, talk how you like. Now just act a fool. It's okay if you drool, cause everybody's gonna strip and jump in the pool and do what we like. And do what we like.
Homegirls, for once, forget you got class. See a guy you like? Just grab him in the biscuits.
And do what you like. No red, white, tan, black, yellow, or brown. It really doesn't matter, we could all get down and do what we like. And do what we like. From a pink-skinned Yankee to a blue-black southerner, ditch nigger or governor, just do what you like. Look how you like.
Sonic suggests for the hip-hop fan. And since we're not your average everyday rap band, yo, piano man, play how you like.
Don't you know we're getting busy? We can't be corrected. Shay Thin had to be deaf. I say what I like. Like I said, sometimes we bite. Even though you don't think it's right. Yo, I like to bite. Just having fun, y'all. And if you think it is wrong, you got to admit it's a new type of song.
Do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yeah, do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, go where you like.
Go where you like.
Yo, do who you like. Alright, here we go, y'all. Do what you like. Talk how you like. Drink what you like. Grab who you like. Feel what you like. Eat what you like. Scratch where you like. Itch if you like. Go where you like, kid.
Record is currently being played at your station. We will provide the following time for you to announce your station identification. Radio stations may begin your fade here. For those that would like help, we will start your fade for you.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, GospelGunslingers.com.